Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When my grandmother died, I remember falling to my knees and crying. And when my father died, I turned into my husband's arms and cried. And when my mother died, I was holding her hand, and I was so shocked that it took me several hours to cry. This morning we hear the gospel about Lazarus's death and his miraculous return to life. But we also hear a critical piece of information about the role that Jesus played. Jesus wept. And I am as grateful for Jesus' tears as I am for Jesus' miracle. Thank God Jesus wept, because we weep. There is glory and extraordinary beauty in this life, but there is also fierce brokenness, fierce limitation. In this life, flesh is the price of admission. It's the only way we get to love and sing and speak or engage one another in any way at all. We must become enfleshed beings. And as soon as we do that, biological chance and the worldly landscape of water and earth and human capacity help determine the number of years that each of us will roam on this planet. At the most, we're here for 100 years, but it could be for 60 or 40 or 10. We can't know. And it is, for the most part, beyond our control. Jesus wept at Lazarus's death and at Mary and Martha's grief. Lazarus was Jesus' friend, and so Jesus wept over the loss and the suffering of his friend, just as we do, or just as we will if we haven't experienced death yet. Last year, when we heard this gospel, we spoke about Lazarus' courage, the courage and determination it must have required for Lazarus, wrapped in bandages from head to toe, to come staggering out of that tomb for a new beginning in life. Even with Jesus' miracle coursing through him, it must have taken courage to come out and begin life again. This morning, we have to also notice that Lazarus will have to face death again. We believe that Jesus gave Lazarus a second chance at life, but human life always ends in death, so Lazarus will be required to die twice. None of us leaves this planet without submitting ourselves to the mystery and the suffering of death. Most of us don't know the when or the how of our dying until it's upon us. We live most of our lives appropriately in ignorance of our own death, unless, like Woody Allen, we develop an obsession over it. But this is what we know. This is what we know. Jesus wept. Jesus knows that even if there is life after death, it's a different life. And he knows we human beings love this life and the people, the children, the parents, the partners, the siblings, the friends who populate it. And we love them so completely that we are not eager for eternity. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in Scripture. An untold comfort is articulated in those two words. When the Reverend William Sloan Coffin, a brilliant preacher at the national level in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, when the Reverend William Sloan Coffin had to wrestle with the tragedy of his own young son's death in a car accident, he was able to say, "When Alex's car plunged through the guardrail and the waves closed over the sinking car, God's heart was the first of all our hearts to break. God weeps, and so do we. We can imagine that our fears about death and our doubts about death and suffering are unfaithful, but they are actually deeply human, and they are shared by Jesus. Even Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane asked to avoid death and suffering if he possibly could. Both Matthew and Luke record his words. He said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And then he squares himself and prepares himself and turns his face towards Jerusalem. A core truth of our Christian faith is that God is a God who walks directly into the path of suffering in order to save us. Jesus is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And in his crucifixion, he suffers for us, and he suffers to redeem us. Our sorrow is not foreign to him. Our fear of death is not foreign to him. Jesus wept. We can trust that God is walking with us through illness, sorrow, and tragedy because Jesus wept for Lazarus, and he still weeps. He knows about suffering and dying, and he knows that journey can be an agony. He's not remote or untouched by our human struggles. His tears reveal his ties to us. The antidote to death and sorrow can never be to deny death or to deny suffering. We might not understand why, but these painful experiences are a part of human lives. We can recognize that the glories and the sorrows of this life are deeply enmeshed. A capacity to rejoice and a capacity to grieve are essential for a safe passage through this life. Our capacity to weep makes room for deeper connections to one another and deeper connections to God. Our weeping makes room for compassion. And in this life, there are times that call for weeping, authentic weeping. Scientists of the 21st century have already admitted that we are stardust, literally stardust. Almost every element on Earth was formed in the heart of a star, including carbon, essential for the creation of mammals like us. But there's more to say than to confirm that our physical bodies are linked to the vast cosmos beyond us. A wise Jesuit priest once observed, "We are not physical beings with a spiritual element. We are spiritual beings with a physical element. We are meant for earthbound life, but we are also meant for eternity. When this physical life ends, when we have to engage the suffering and dying and death itself, once for us, twice for Lazarus, or when we have to confront suffering or dying in someone we love, Jesus' tears join ours. We are not alone when the miracle of our life begins, and we're not alone when our physical life ends. Jesus weeps, and then he calls us by name, and we follow."